It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Belaga Homer Hour. Wow, he's got his Iowa t-shirt on, as well right. He should. Iowa beat number one seed Florida, proving that they got the new Bo Ryan. For those of you who don't know the coach... it's his first year, right?
Yep.
He came from Drake, where he was very good in 1 year, 31-4. Before that, a legendary Division II coach at Northwest Missouri State, almost, I would say, identical to what Bo Ryan did in Division III at Platteville. They won 4 national championships. Why no one hired him before Drake did last year is beyond me, but these are, or the win over Florida, are the kind of games that define a coach. The number one issue for any college coach is how you do in the NCAA tournament, which he apparently showed his ability in the Division II tournaments. He's like, Bo Ryan lost like less than 10 games in a decade or something like this. 35-1 national championship, 38-0 national championship, 28-2 now. Now his last 2 years he didn't win it, so that's where he bailed for Drake. Drake 31-4, and they won a game in the tournament last year. And he's already done, a 9 beating a 1. So I thought maybe you'd get somebody from basketball, Iowa basketball on, like Caitlin Clark. I figured the two of you. She is, of course, the most famous basketball player at Iowa recently. Not probably all time. I don't know who all time would be.
She's close.
Ronnie Lester, that's like Don Hudson to most people. I don't know. But yeah, she would be the one everybody would probably want to hear from. Even if she's not the most famous. All right, I want you to go through. I know you're watching the game, no doubt. And did you think they had a chance? I don't know. Do people at Iowa know anything about their coach?
Well, first of all, for the game versus Florida, going into it, I was like, as long as they don't get, worked like the team Florida. What they did in the first round, this is going to be good, right? Like, that'll be fine. That'll be good for Iowa. Not a lot of people picked them to even beat Clemson. So if they put up an honorable display against Florida, that's a pretty good first season for this head coach, right? As long as they don't go out there and get murked by Florida. Well, that game started and it looked very, very one-sided, and that was for Iowa to start.
Yeah, they whooped them early.
Yeah, for most of the game, they got a lead by 12 early in the second half, and obviously Florida stormed back because the size that Florida has is incredible. I mean, the guys are enormous. I feel like they're all over 7 foot tall, and they can move, and they're good. But from the first half into the second half, Iowa dominated the game, and I was shocked. My wife and I were sitting there watching this going, what is going on here? Like, this is absolutely unbelievable. And you thought the way that they had to do it was shoot threes because you're not going to be able to compete with them in the paint, and your rebounding was going to be lopsided one way or the other, like completely lopsided. But it was the absolute opposite of that. Iowa, I think, we're even with them on rebounds. I think they outscored them in the paint. Just stuff that you didn't think would even – and Iowa missed more than half their free throws. I kept saying it midway through the second half, if they lose this game, it's because they're missing free throws. Iowa, that is. I think their lead scorer was 50% from the free throw line. So, like, just abysmal at the charity strike, but outplayed Florida, where Florida normally always outplays everybody. And to me, that was what stood out early on in that game, and as it continued on, and obviously it ended the way it did with Fulgaris. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. I'm not totally sure. I don't want to butcher it for him.
You can butcher it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Draining that three from the corner. And that was just
now, the Florida coach said he wanted to foul there, that they didn't execute his plan or whatever. The guy who he was supposed to be guarding him helped out so that the Iowa star couldn't shoot, right? That's why he was so open in the corner. I mean, I'm sure they figured, look, if we're going to lose, it's not going to be by the star. We're going to make some guy who's not as good hit it. But, yeah, he was wide. But, they were up two, and I didn't look. And I didn't look to follow up on the story, but then they had the ball, the chance to go down the court, just as St. John's did when St. John's scored to win their game.
Yeah.
It appeared to me that your coach, the new Bo Ryan, by the way, column last year in his 1 year at Drake as an 11 seed beat a 6-seeded Missouri team by 10. So he's already.
And I guess I don't know basketball probably. Really at all, especially the way you do, but Florida being up by two in that situation where I think there was like 9 seconds left or 10 seconds left.
Right.
Why even press the ball like that? Why not pick it up right before half court?
All right. The problem with that is by that time, the player gets a full head of steam and then you don't want to get in the way because you don't want to foul him. The idea is to, to try to prevent the person with the ball from getting a run. Now, what you did, which they didn't do against St. John's, is they forced him to go into the corner and come in from the side rather than straight through the lane. So they had all their so he had to angle. Now, what he should have done was just throw the ball up in the air near the basket so one of his tall guys could dunk it. But he didn't. He tried to pass it to him about waist high, which is tough. But I thought the key there was, but you've seen this with 4 seconds to go. If you're smart, you get the ball to the guy in the backcourt, and then he just starts running. Who's going to get in his way and be charged with a foul?
Yeah, so, nobody.
Nobody. But you do what Iowa did, and I'm assuming it was a plan, where there were so many people there, he had to go around the side. Then he's coming in at an angle, which I didn't watch. Your coach must have felt that was that was the best way to do it, and they didn't even give him a shot up. I thought he would just go to the basket and get the big guys to come after him and then just throw it up in the air and then with about a second left and let one of his huge teammates, and they have a number of them at Florida. But anyway, this guy's – this, and they were, 10-10 in conference or whatever? I mean, this is who you want, a guy who can – pull off the amazing win. Now it's Nebraska.
Yeah.
Do you have a concern there, sir, because Nebraska knows Iowa.
Yeah.
Which would make it a different, but I still don't know who's going to win the game.
No, I think it's a complete toss-up of who's going to win the game. I mean, you kind of look at Iowa's road to how they got in there versus Nebraska. Iowa's been battle-tested to get to the Sweet 16. Could you say the same for Nebraska?
Well, no, because they didn't beat a number one seed.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm kind of favoring Iowa. They're right. I mean, you beat a number one seed. That is, I mean, you're riding a hot hand right there. And their best player didn't even play that good.
That's correct. Florida had as many people as they could have on him, other than if they were on the bench. Vanderbilt's very good, so I would say Nebraska had a pretty good test there. Not like Florida. But I checked with my partner, Tony Smith. He said the win over Florida doesn't do you a damn bit of good against Nebraska. My question would be, I don't know how they played that. Nebraska will know the best way to play Iowa, and Iowa may know the best way to beat Nebraska. And I would say this, based on your coach and his success in the NCAA tournament already and in other tournaments, that may be a favor because Nebraska is where they've never been before.
Yeah.
So they, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look, but it's sometimes different. You have so many Big Ten teams in. The Big Ten has done great other than Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and the weaker teams. It doesn't. No one cares about UCLA. They're not really in the Big Ten. That should be a discount liquor Twitter poll question. Do you consider UCLA as a Big Ten member? Or what's the way to put this? Who else would that be? Oregon?
Yeah, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC. Do you consider them to be Big Ten members? All four of those schools.
Do you consider them to really be Big Ten members? And do you care how they do as a reflection of the Big Ten? Something like that.
Yeah, and the answer is no.
No.
The answer is no.
You know.
No.
I mean,
that was a football move. It had nothing to do with basketball.
Yeah.
Well, now,
I mean, think of this. You have the Big Ten. At what point do they say, we can't really be the – can you be the Big Ten when you have 30 teams? What's the number? All right, that should be the question too, Pebble. What's the number of teams when it becomes necessary to change from the Big Ten to something else? 20, 30, 40, or never?
Yeah.
All right. My answer would be they're never going to change it because of the brand.
My answer is going to be never. It's going to be never. They'll never. Because, it's besides the SEC.
But the brand is no real brand because you have all these other schools that, while they're in the Big Ten, you're not really in
The
Big Ten, right?
Like, I mean, you're talking about like Rutgers.
Right. When you get to 30, you're going to have 20 teams that you don't even consider in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
They should have the old Big Ten, the new Big Ten.
Yes. The old and new.
The old and new. The old and new. I don't even know that they'll set it up, but I mean, it's like, how many teams can you have in on the West Coast before you're no longer the Big East? So it's I get it. It's just a brand name. But, man, there's nothing as good, and you certainly want to go further in the tournament. But that's a game you're going to remember forever.
Yeah, I watched every minute of that game. I watched every single minute of that game. That's rare for me to watch a basketball game through and through.
A 9 beating a 1. And as I said, just remember the name if you don't know him. I was McCollum. I was confusing him. There's another coach with that same last name or similar to it. He grew up in Storm Lake, Iowa. Is that where the crash was, the Buddy Holly crash, or do I have a different city?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
All right. He was born in Iowa City. He grew up in Storm Lake, Iowa. Graduated from St. Mary's High School. I have no idea where that is. Do you? Played basketball for North Iowa Area Community College before transferring to Northwest Missouri State. He was an assistant at Emporia State University, another place no one's ever heard of, before named the head coach of Northwest Missouri State in 2009. Yeah, they should. I don't know how much Iowa can afford to pay him, but
I don't know either. But that's my concern, is that he's about to get snatched up here pretty soon.
Yeah. I'd hire him in North Carolina in a heartbeat, but I don't think I think they need someone who has some North Carolina background. I don't think they want a guy from Iowa, but I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But now whoever your AD is, give him a great deal of credit, because McCaffrey's, again, one of those good coaches, but not good enough.
Yeah, the AD is she's brand new.
And I don't know who else was a finalist. But again, he'd been at Drake for only 1 year, pulled off the upset, and the next is history. This is the greatest. Is it the greatest upset ever in Iowa basketball history? Someone will have to look.
I don't know the history, but I think it's probably close.
All right.
If it's not number one.
By the way, he is in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame, proving again that he would be the Iowa version of Bo Ryan. Four times national champ, Division II. And last year, First year at Drake, an 11 beat a 6. And now first year at Iowa, a 9 beats a 1. I will allow Brian Bulaga, but I'm not sure he has a full hour. You can spend a whole hour talking about the game however you want.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a bunch to say about it. I mean, tomorrow's going to be my day to really dig in on Jesse. So I'm filling in for Tausch.
Oh, yeah, just kill him. But don't, it's too easy. I do want to ask you this. At what point in the game did you or your wife, were anybody else watching, the two of you? Or?
Yeah, just us. It was just us.
At what point did either of you say, damn, we might win this game?
It was in the second half, early second half, I think, when they went up by 12. Okay. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, they're going to win.
Right. It was brilliant where they slowed the game down. So each possession took a long time, meaning there would be fewer possessions, which would help them because of the weaker team. And they brought all their big guys out. So Florida had to bring Florida. I thought, I don't know, someone can check this, but I think they would have been much better off to maybe go into a zone. To where they wouldn't have had to, but I'll defer to somebody else who says it. But the whole concept of we're not as good, so use the full shot clock every possession if we can, limits the possessions, and he's not the first one to invent it, but you don't see it that much anymore given the way teams play. Even if they didn't get a shot, it's like, hey, serves some purpose because, again, it limits the number of possessions and keeps the score down because – the faster the pace, which seems odd given how tall Florida, the faster the pace, they're going to have a run where they just crush you.
Yes.
As they saw in the previous game. All right, will Brian Bulaga talk more about the game in the next segment? We'll find out next. Founded by inventors, fueled by community, and focused on business for 130 years, Horicon Bank has helped Wisconsin businesses grow doing banking differently since 1896. That's older than I am. Today, that same local approach is now part of the Milwaukee business community, bringing decision-making closer to the people who matter most, you. Financing requests approved in days, not weeks. Bankers who understand your business. Products designed to support real cash flow needs. So, when it comes to commercial lending, Horicon Bank gets the job done together, doing good for 130 years. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, he is appropriately excited because Iowa, as a number 9, beat Florida number 1. Anytime you beat a number 1, especially if you're more than, let's say, I think if you're 8 or higher, if you're a 6, it's nice, but if you're a 9, or if you keep the team, the number 1 from making the Sweet 16. Yeah, anything in the first two rounds, and especially the defending national champ. One of Marquette's great win in the regular season. They beat Villanova when they were both defending champ and number 1 in the country. But not as good. Beating a number 1 in the first two, in the first weekend of the NCAA tourney is historic. All right, the Discount Leaguer Twitter poll question. Do you consider USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington as Big Ten schools? 74% say no. That's how you voted, right?
Yep.
And what's, I love this one, what's the number of schools that Big Ten needs to have before you consider changing the name of the conference? 20 at 14%, 30, 0, 40 at 7%, never change the name, 79%. So,
yeah.
It's a brand, has nothing to do with number, which, of course, it did at one point. They should credit the Pac-10 because I don't think they – I don't know if they changed – did they change it to the Pac-8?
They changed it to the Pac-12.
Pac-12.
It used to be the Pac-12,
used to be the Pac-12,
so
yeah.
They should change it once with the number.
Right. They could, yeah.
Whereas
the Big Ten, the Big 15 doesn't really have much of a ring as the
no,
Big 10.
No, I mean, it's just the brand. I don't know how you explain the Big Ten has so many schools, but that's all you do is that's the brand. Never change the name, 73%. Actually, we should have another question. Will the Big Ten add schools at some point and be bigger than their current? It's 18, right? I vote yes for sure.
Oh, yeah. They're going to add teams. Absolutely. They'll add another one or
right.
two here in the next 5 years.
When you're the
years.
Big Ten and you got 18, what's 20? What's 30? You've already set the standard, right?
Yeah, and it depends on the school. I feel like they could be selective now, right? Like they could be very choosy. Because one of these conferences are going to fall apart, whether it's the ACC or somebody.
Everybody believes at some point there's going to be two conferences.
Yeah, it's going to be the Big Ten and SEC.
But then if they get that big, then they won't have the same power because they're going to have some slightly weaker schools, right? I don't know.
Well, no, they'll just have the weaker schools start their own little...
And they'll kick them out.
They'll just kick them out, let them start their own.
We agree with one thing. There's nothing that would surprise either of us in terms of the future.
Yes. I mean, because it's all football driven. So it's what's best for the football programs with alignment, right?
And understandably so, because it's all about money.
Yes.
If you want this to end, stop going to games or watching them. Because if the money decreases, then all this will end.
Yeah, and that's never going to happen.
Right. You hope not. All right. Now, Pebble put up a comment about the show, a topic that I hadn't even thought about, but it's a very good point. So, Pebble, pass along the information to Brian Bulaga that you think, and again, Pebble understands everything is important only as it relates to the Green Bay Packers, and I would have to say, this might, the degree, I will defer to you.
So Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the Seattle Seahawks wide receiver, agreed to a four-year, $168.6 million extension with the Seahawks, including $120 million guaranteed. So I put up on the title for today's show, is the asking price now the contract for Christian Watson even going to go up even more now in the future, where he's going to have to get even more money from the Packers because the price is going to be even higher?
Because my first thought is, if I'm the Packers, they're like, no, it doesn't affect you. You're not him. But I will defer to Brian because my guess is, to some degree, it does.
Yeah. No, he's not Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He's not him.
But is the price to keep him going to go up?
Correct,
now?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Everything goes up. I don't know what percentage of when the person at the top... I mean, when you were playing, right, you love to hear.
Yes. You love to hear that guys. Yeah, that guys get paid more because then just the average goes up for everybody.
And you didn't care. You didn't care if it was a tackle or a guard. Tackles probably you preferred it, but it could be in any position. Anything that raises the cost.
Yep. And because that's the initial shock factor is the first guy getting it. Right, it's the first guy that gets it is the shock factor, and teams are like, oh my gosh, what is that? But then another guy will get something close to it, and then it starts to just, that's the going rate, or close to that, or whatever it may be. So, like, for me, yeah, it's Christian Watson is smiling after that one. That's a very good contract for him. And I'm not saying that they're the same player and he's going to get the $120 million. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is it does drive up the price. For how he perform, if he performs well again this year, which I don't doubt that he will, I would imagine he's only going to play better. His price only goes up and may end up going to that 28, 29, 30 range if he plays really good. And to start this, it might have been at the 21 to 25. You just don't, I don't know what his going rate. I have no idea what it is. But that contract comes in and now you're looking in the 30s. Because if the top guy's getting 45 or whatever it may be, what do guys that are, I don't know what Christian Watson ranks in terms of wide receivers, but we don't need to go through the list of that. That's not what I'm doing here. But you look at where he is, 30, 31 with maybe 80 to 85 guaranteed now isn't out of the ballpark for him. And if he plays
because
good,
it's not close to what Smith-Njigba got.
Yes.
120 in guarantees.
Yeah, that's getting paid, baby. That is getting paid. That is getting paid. And you know what? Like, the dude's a stud, so it doesn't shock me. But the sticker number of $120 million for a guarantee for a receiver, it does shock me. That's a sticker value that is crazy. It just stinks for him that State passed that income tax law just this year, so he's going to have to give some of that away. It used to be an income tax-free state.
That's
so
a lot.
Bad timing.
I mean, average is $42 million a year. I mean, I think that's crazy. I don't know that I believe any receiver is worth that much, but And again, $42 million per year.
And they gave Shaheed, right? They gave the other guy 3 years, $52 million, the returner and receiver. So, like, they're paying receivers. And they believe that is an answer, even though they dominated in the run game this year. But
I mean, if he's got 120 guaranteed, that's 30 guaranteed every year for 4 years.
Yes.
My assumption is, and again, because my obsession with Schneider as the GM, he must believe that you pay big money to a couple and the rest of them nothing. I mean, you can't keep paying that amount of money, right? That's my theory. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but that's. You got to pay. Well, they don't have to pay the quarterback yet, right?
Well, he was on a 2-year deal for like $100 million. I think it was like a 2-year, $100 million deal. Well, you could check, but I think it was something close to that. So they're going to have to pay him here soon.
Yeah, $40 million a year. I mean, I thought you were rich, but I feel bad for you now.
Oh, I didn't even get the.
I know, but that. Did you ever think? I mean, do you look at these numbers and go? Damn.
Yes, I do now, for sure. I mean, it's like, it's fantastic. I mean, listen, I'm happy that guys are getting paid. Like, I think it's great. I always loved it when guys got paid on my team and around the league. I think it's great because of how much money the owners do make. So, like, I love it when guys get paid. But, like, you just – everything is relative to salary cap era. Like, when I was playing back to when – like Chewy and Cliffy and all those guys and Tausch first were playing and they were getting their second deals. And then I got in and I was the last year of the rookie wage scale or pre-rookie wage scale. So I got guaranteed money that now number 23 doesn't. Like everything's relative, right? Everything is at 23. I wasn't getting the Sam Bradford $50 million guaranteed right off the jump. Like I didn't get that at the 23rd pick. I can assure you that. Would have been nice, but I didn't. But everything's relative. So, like, when the salary cap goes up to $301 million, you got to spend it somewhere.
Yeah, well, no, you're right. How do you – but, I mean, there's a difference of, like, it used to be around 10 or something, and now you're going 50. That's five times as much.
Yeah. $10 million is now, like, what the backup guy is.
Yeah, long like snapper.
It's becoming like basketball where the seventh man is making $12 million to hang out.
Right, and the issue in football always was that it wasn't guaranteed, that it was the amount was funny money. Well, that the amount's getting more and more legit when you have 168 and 120 is guaranteed. To me, that's totally a percentage thing. When the percentage of the contract that's guaranteed goes up, and I'll have to figure out what that number is. That tells me that the total amount is no longer funny money.
No, I don't. And probably I guess we'll have to see the entire structure of that deal and how that's worked, because that's also important for Christian Watson as he's coming up, is how it's all structured out, right? Like, and that is the important part of these things.
But I know what guaranteed means, and that isn't structured out.
No.
I don't care when I get it. I'll take it. Yes.
Yeah, I'll take it today. I'll take it next year. I'll take it the third year. I'll take it the fourth year. If you want to cut me, I'll take it sitting on my couch. It does not matter.
It's something about, it's about 70% or something like that, which to me is high. I just don't think the guaranteed used to be 70%.
Well, maybe I guess we got to look at like what Myles Garrett got. Like, what was Myles Garrett's guarantee compared to the overall? And if these agents are getting smart, which they are, you start guaranteeing a certain percentage of the contract.
I mean, they've always wanted that, and the teams just said no. There's too much of an injury issue, and now they apparently are saying yes, which is odd because what they're guaranteeing is so much greater in amount than what they were asked to guarantee, few years ago?
Yeah, probably. 5 years ago. Probably 5 years ago. It's changed drastically.
So you're at 25 now, you're guaranteeing 20. And now that guarantees 120 because the contract is so large.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a couple. I mean, I saw a couple guys just in free agency. They didn't get the $90 million deal, but say they got 35 to 40, but they had 29, 30 guaranteed. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Nice. I don't know what it is, but my words are better than pretty good. But as an NFL player, I think you're appropriate to say pretty good. Next segment. Maybe there'll be an even bigger contract. $120 million guaranteed. Pebble, we got to get the list of the highest amounts of guaranteed.
Well, you mentioned Myles Garrett. He got 123.5 guaranteed.
And what was his overall?
160 for a 4-year extension with the Browns.
Yeah, so it's pretty close.
Yeah, yeah.
Man. Yep. That's so much risk. Well, I guess you probably have some sort of insurance to cover it, but man, they don't ever have to worry about injury ever again.
No. That's not even, because it used to be built in injury protection guarantee. Like if you got injured, you'd get guaranteed money based on like you got injury protection. Now, not even building that in. Teams are just having to eat it.
That money's yours. Next. The NFL players have always been rich. They're getting richer. All right, what's the number again for Smith and Jigba? 166, 4 years,
168.6 for 4 years, 120 million guaranteed.
All right, what about the guy with the Rams? Nacua? He's got to have a new contract coming up.
Coming up, yeah. Not yet, though.
What's he going to get, even more? Does the next guy always get more?
If the numbers are similar, he's probably going to get a little bit more, yeah.
Aren't they pretty close to Pebble? Would you say they're close to ability?
Smith and Jigba and Puka Nacua, yeah, pretty close, yeah.
Yeah.
100. So yeah, he's smiling then.
Yeah, he's very excited, too. He's very excited. And the Rams clearly have a lot of money to go around the way they're paying corners that they trade for and guys that they sign. The Rams got money.
Seattle's never done this. The story I'm looking at says that maybe they thought that if Nacua got one, that Smith and Jigba would ask for even more. I don't know. Or
it's always good. It's always good to just get it done first if you can.
Even if you go this,
you think, 2 years, in 2 years, it's not going to seem that high anymore.
Come on, 120 guaranteed. 100, you know what 120 million is? That's what a country should have, not a wide receiver.
I get it, but
I know. I got to adjust.
Someone's going to break it in 2 years. Someone's going to get more, and that's just going to be, or it's going to be like a shorter term deal with not as much guaranteed, but it's going to be just as much because he's locked into a shorter term deal and he can strike again. Yeah. Like it's.
All right, let's see what Sugar Free has to say, a great NFL Packers fan. Sugar Free, let her fly.
Yeah, well, Belaga brought it up. I mean, the running back, they are a running team. The Super Bowl MVP was a running back. They didn't even have the other running back. And if they think that Charbonnet is as good as the last back, he isn't. Why did you have to sign this guy?
Well, we have an answer to that. We have an answer to that. It's actions. They think he's that good and it's that important. They think it's harder to find another one like him than to find another running back, right? I mean, Brian, isn't it that simple?
I get that. But wait. Homer, listen to this. Okay. He is a first rounder. He has a fifth year option. This is his fourth year coming in. You just paid him boatloads of money.
Yeah, well, Brian,
you don't think he could
wait. No, it cost more if you waited, right?
He's not a player that's going to pout, okay? So you don't got a pouty player, and you're going to go in, you know, you go into the fourth year, and then maybe at the end, and he's still great, you know you're going to have to pay him, then you pay him. But you could have paid the running back, too. It's just...
Hold on, Brian. Go ahead. I won't interrupt. Brian, you talk, and then Sugar Free will let you respond. Go ahead, Brian.
No, which listen, he makes tons of sense. Like, I understand where he's coming from. I think Schneider's looking at down the road planning with that young roster that they have a lot of guys drafted in that draft class that are going to need to get paid. And Darnold's also, I think either he's on his last year of this deal or he's got one more left and they're going to have to pay him soon too. So my guess is that they're just looking at this as how are we going to space out all these deals with these young, talented guys that we have and how are we going to pay them all? And obviously the wide receiver and Jigba, he's probably the best one out of all of them. So you knock him out, get him done. And then what Homer said was somewhat, I think, what is probably the way they're looking at it is we can find another running back that can perform like that. Not saying they will, but Schneider has a pretty good track record.
But that has to be it. Sugar Free, what are the options?
What do you mean the options? Okay, please, guys. Fifth-year option. They have a fifth-year option. They don't need to pay him until after this year. So I don't care what they're going to pay him. They're still going to pay him $106 million.
Why
could have paid
him. Why do you think they paid him now? That's what you got to have an answer. Unless you think he's an idiot, and I not only think he's an idiot. What?
Stupid. No. Yes, I think this move was totally stupidity when you have a fifth year. If he was drafted in the second round, totally. I understand it. You had one more year to pay him at his current salary and then drop the four-year deal in the fourth year. That's it.
Right,
it's as simple as that. Tell me anything that I just said is not idiotic.
No,
it is not
there
idiotic.
There has to be something of a negative way that they wanted to avoid. Brian, you tell them what it is. They had to think it was going to go even higher.
You
could have
gave him a raise. What? You could have gave him a raise in the fourth year. Give him another $12 million. He would have been fine. Give me a break. Whatever. We will see what the running game looks like this year. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, that's believe me, that is the biggest thing, is that they were a running team and you got rid of your best back.
Hey, they got the Packer guy. Didn't they get Wilson?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no.
But he's not Kenneth Walker.
I just don't think Schneider's stupid. So there's a reason that he did it, because the facts presented by Sugar Free are accurate.
Yes,
they could have waited. They chose not to wait.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is they only saw it getting more expensive next year, and they want to just get it done, and then they want to do Darnold, is my guess. And they have all those guys on defense, too,
right,
that are young, that are coming up on contracts as well. That's my only guess.
Yes, part of a package or part of – there are clearly things going on, because it would have been simple – for them to do what Sugar Free just said.
Yes.
And on the
100%.
Surface, it would have certainly cost them less now. More Brian Bulaga without Sugar Free. I hope, Pebble, do you think Brian, is Bulaga going to ask us for more now that the NFL players are getting, does it trickle down to former NFL players on radio shows?
Depends what the ratings are, I guess.
Next.
Yeah.
Fisco Auto Body, I tell you about them so you'll like me a little bit. Here's how it works. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. On Forest Home in Franklin, family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do, it's who they are. Yes, and they still own the business. They haven't sold it, so the Fiscos are still working on your car. Imagine how many years they've been doing it. That's one of the reasons they can be so good. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Any damage, Fisco has you covered. Fisco on Forest Home in Franklin. Fisco, Fisco, Fisco. So you remember the name. The newest on NFL players are making so much money. Pebble, we have a new Discount League Twitter poll question on whether or not it's bothering people. That's of interest, but not of note, because it doesn't change until it bothers people to where they watch less.
And yep, we got it up right now. Our fourth discount liquor Twitter poll question of the day up at the Homer Hour on Twitter X. Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba's agreed to a four-year, $168.6 million contract extension with $120 million guaranteed. Does the size of NFL contracts nowadays upset you as a fan? Yes, way too much money at 30% of the vote. No, players deserve it, 13%. And no, don't care at 57% of the vote.
I don't know what number it is that would seem too much. I know Brian Bulaga's would be higher. I don't think there is a number that's too much, right? Because the system limits.
No, not when you put it in relativity to what NBA guys make and baseball guys.
And the cap. Like, I mean, there's a cap, so the teams can only...
Yeah, I mean, so really, I mean, the cap goes up. Guys do get paid more, but it's all based on salary cap and things like that. So there's – and obviously there's ways around it.
And now we get to the financier, which Brian Bulaga, I'm sure you're pretty good. When will a player make $100 million a year?
Oh, it's going to take – because quarterback – yeah, well, top quarterbacks are making what? 60,
what is it, Pebble? 60 yet?
65 or right. Whatever it may be.
But I mean, I guess I'm looking at, don't you look, do you look at, is it, should we say guaranteed? 100 million guaranteed? Or is
because
it just
Dak Prescott's making 60 a year.
Is that guaranteed 60?
Yeah. That's 60 on a 4-year deal.
Yeah. I would say it's going to take some time. It's
5 years is too soon?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. We'll go with 10 years. In 10 years, there will be a player making in his contract $100 million a year. Now, that doesn't have to be guaranteed. We'll assume the guarantee is probably going to still be at the 70% that it is now, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're going to have another generational type player like Mahomes that comes through that gets that type of deal. That's just what it's going to have to be. Like a Mahomes type quarterback that comes in and it's $100 million a year.
$100 million a year. That's just,
well, at that point we'll have 18 games. That'll raise the revenue, so that the cap's going to go up tremendously when that happens. There'll be 18 right. games. They'll be playing, each team will be playing an overseas game, so they're tapping into
and I'll
the
be
international
paying,
market.
$20 a game to watch.
Yes, there'll be 50 subscription services, not just like the 4 or 5 there are now. So,
I got to admit, I'm fine until it starts costing me. All right, Milwaukee weight loss. I've said before I did it because someone told me about it, and they told me it's almost easy. And I thought, well, I got to test that out. So Milwaukee weight loss, yeah, I've been doing it, down 20 pounds. And by the end of March, which will be 3 months, I'll be at down 30. I don't have any doubt. I eat less, and I'm okay with it. I can't really explain it. I do know this. Limited time, get $200 off of the spring special. You call Milwaukee Weight Loss at 262-235-3980. I'm not doing anything weird, not taking a shot or stuff like that. The way they set it up, and I did it under their kind of system for a couple months, you eat less. And when you eat less, you should want to eat more, and I don't really. I can now eat less. The weird part for me is I found a barbecue sauce that doesn't have any calories and a salad dressing that doesn't have any calories. And I like them, so anytime I need to do that part of things, then I can do it, and it's fewer calories. So MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, 262-235-3980. Again, $200 off with the spring special, and it's almost easy. I never thought I would say that, so... you eat less and it doesn't bother you. Is that possible? Well, you go to Milwaukee Weight Loss, it might be different for you. $100 million. Oh, the questions are coming in here. This I love for Brian Bulaga. What's your best score at Green Bay Country Club?
That was a while ago, a long time ago. Maybe high 70s right. would be my guess.
And this is a concern that comes up on YouTube, that the tickets will be more and more expensive. I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know that creates enough revenue. It's all about TV and streaming and that kind of stuff. That's where most of the revenue comes from, right?
Yes, 100%.
All right, TV Brian deal. Bulaga. We'll get to talk about Iowa's next game against Nebraska after he does his research. Man, I'd be happier than you are, and you're happy. Number 9 beats number 1. That's a forever. Next. Yep.